Welcome to the Real Turf Techs podcast for the technician who's keeping it real. Follow along as we talk to industry professionals and address hot topics that we all face. Along the way, we'll learn tips and tricks. I'm your host, Trent Manning. Let's have some fun. Welcome Kayla Kipp to the Real Turf Techs podcast, episode 7. Kayla is the equipment manager at Wisp Resort in McHenry, Maryland. Wisp Resort has two public 18-hole courses, Fantasy Valley and Lobestone, which is on top of a mountain. Let's hear it from Kayla. Welcome, Kayla Kipp, to the Real Turf Techs podcast. Thank you for coming on. Really appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Trent. Appreciate the invite, sir.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Tell us how you got into the golf industry.
It was a little bit of a story, and I'd say it would start whenever I was just a little child. My parents divorced whenever I was young, and I grew up with my dad, and you know, everything dad did, I did too. If he was repairing the toilet, I was watching him repair the toilet. So he was a real jack of all trades. He rebuilt a D8 dozer in his garage. Me out there in my diaper covered in grease. That's no joke. There are pictures.
That's awesome.
And he had a riding lawn tractor. It was a Ford and it had the steel fenders on it. So I was always sitting on the tractor with him. I always loved being with dad. So as I got older and had to think about, you know, life and what I was going to do after high school, I couldn't afford college. We didn't have a whole lot. And I wanted to join the military. It was after September 11th. I love America. So I joined the Air Force and I tested really high in the mechanical aptitude area. So I kind of got placed into heavy equipment. I really enjoyed that too. I took 3 tours overseas. And
what kind of equipment were you working on in the Air Force?
Mostly flight line equipment. Aircraft loaders, forklifts, fire trucks, refuelers. At Dover Air Force Base, we'd actually get snow from time to time. And they had the really big Oshkosh brooms. And they could broom the snow off if it was light and powdery. And then they had the really big plows, too. That was the shop next door. I was mostly in material handling stuff.
Okay.
Whenever I got out of the military, I didn't know where to go. There were no real airports near my house. So I just looked for something to get a paycheck real quick. And the golf course was hiring because it was April. So I got on at the ski resort where my golf courses are. And I started breaking sand. Edging bunkers was one of my first jobs. Fun. But halfway through the summer, they finally put me on the greens mower and I learned how to mow greens and mow fairways. I was like, I really, really enjoy this golf stuff. It's cool. And you could play for free. That was a big bonus.
And, had you played before? You enjoyed golf?
I had played maybe 3 or 4 times before getting out of the military because we had a golf course on base at Dover. So we could play for super cheap. And I had a couple of buddies that liked to play. And he ended up buying brand new golf clubs. So I still have his old golf clubs that I play with. And I have broke most of them. So, you know, you go through a learning curve with golf, trying to figure out depths.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a good time, though. But I really enjoy it. That winter, I made snow at the resort. And I didn't per se like that a whole lot. I ended up picking up a security job at another resort nearby. After a year, that wasn't any fun. I was like, I really want to get back to the golf course because that was it. That was the job. And in 2014, the superintendent called me, said, would you be interested in being our mechanic? Boy, would I. I was super excited about that. I moved back to Maryland. And I've been here ever since, full time. I ground reels for them whenever I wasn't here. So I kind of worked here the whole time. But the first year I worked here, Matt Whaley from John Deere was still coming here to grind reels for the golf course. Mm-hmm. We were under a lease program. They did the maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
So while he was here, I learned from him how to do it.
Smart.
I didn't know how valuable that would be to me in the long run,
mm-hmm.
but it really paid off a couple years down the road. And, while I was working at the other resort in my time off, I would come here, grind for them as a part-time gig.
Cool stuff. Kind of walk me through your daily shop routine. You out on the course, you in the shop all day, in the busy growing season.
Last year was a little different with COVID, so we were very short-staffed. I ended up being out on the golf course a lot more than I had been in the last 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awesome. I really liked it. It was a really nice change of pace from the just fixing something that's broke all the time. Mm-hmm. And so we had our best guys and didn't have to worry about them too much. But a typical week, we'll say on Monday, get all the hours and the equipment, put together an hours and maintenance report. That way we can kind of look ahead and be like, what's coming schedule? What can we do this week? Kind of have an informal meeting with the mm-hmm. the pro and the super and plan for the weekend if we have any big events coming up. But it's usually which place has the biggest fire is where I'm going to go in the morning because mm-hmm. they are 4 miles apart.
Okay.
So
it's a little challenge.
Yeah. If one has a bigger problem than the other, that's where I go first.
Do you have like a tool set up at both places?
I do not.
Okay.
I carry 3 toolboxes in my car, the poor shocks on my Ford Focus. I'm telling you, man. It's incredible. And, you know, you're always buying more tools. You're like, oh, I'd really like to have that. Like, uh-huh. And these things are getting really heavy.
Yeah.
And at Lodestone, we do have a toolbox. And, you know, any toolbox that's set in the shop is kind of a free-for-all.
Mm-hmm.
I need to borrow a screwdriver. Well, yeah, where's the screwdriver?
Right. Never shows back up.
Right. So there is some shared tools, but I keep mine definitely locked down in my portable vehicle there.
I got you. So you have a shop to work in at both places?
Yes.
Okay.
Dedicated shop at Lodestone. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get used during the winter at all. So all the equipment from both courses gets stored in that building.
Okay.
And at the other golf course at the bottom of the mountain, the grooming machines for the snow take over my shop in the wintertime.
Okay.
So in the spring, it's full of mud. It's mm-hmm. dandy too. But we're kind of, me and the groomer mechanic get along really well. And we're talking about him just keeping one bay of that shop all year round.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. Have you fabricated anything lately?
I had to write this stuff down too. I haven't, I just got a welder in the fall. I'm actually really excited to get into a project.
Okay, good.
But I haven't done it yet because I've been begging for a welder for years.
So what kind of welder did you get?
It's just a small one. I can't even tell you. I've only seen it like twice. I picked it up from the store and I just made a cabinet for it. And that's pretty much where it went.
Is it a wire feed? Stick?
No, stick.
Stick okay. welder. All right.
I did weld on new chain hanger studs on the reels. Some of our older ones were real wore out.
Okay.
So I have used it.
Yep.
But not much.
Okay.
I want to, though. Fine. And yeah. We also hired in the fall a really awesome welder. He was fixing the plow for me all winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to learning a lot of stuff from him. I mean, he's really good.
Yeah,
we were sending him out on the mountain this winter to weld snowmaking pipe. And he's like, it looked like Swiss cheese and I didn't use any filler. And I'm like, that's really amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of our snowmaking lines are getting really brittle.
Is it what, ductile iron or what kind of pipe are you talking about? Any idea?
Pretty sure it's just steel.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know. I'm not familiar with snowmaking equipment. So that's why I'm asking all these questions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's just steel pipe. There is a like a composite material they've been getting into, but you'd have to redo your entire mountain almost. Take out the steel, put in the other stuff. And we're running around 400 PSI on those lines. So it's
pretty limited stuff.
On options as far as things that can deal with that much pressure and that much flow.
So, I mean, what kind of flow do you have to put out to make snow?
Well, we can go anywhere from like 500 gallons a minute to our peak operating capacity is 10,000 gallons a minute.
Wow. That's pretty impressive stuff.
I'll take that back because I wrote it down. I was looking at the pump. So I'm in the pump house.
Okay.
So 10,000 gallons is pretty typical whenever we're peak. I mean, you're limited on some things. There's, you can't make on the entire mountain all at once. Amperage. And people usually. But with all of our snowmaking pumps running at 100% capacity, we could put out 15,000 gallons a minute.
Wow. That's insane.
Pretty intense.
So where does the water come from?
The water comes from the bottom of the mountain at Deep Creek Lake, which is a big recreational lake.
Okay.
The big tourist town here.
Okay.
So we have 8 lake pumps that can pull up 10,000 gallons a minute. It goes into the upper pond. That pond can hold 10.7 million gallons of water.
Wow.
Yeah, it is a lot of research. Water comes in and goes out. Yeah, because the mountain is about 500 foot elevation difference from the bottom to the top, you have a high side and a low side for your pressure. And on your low side, you're only putting out 280 from the top. And what happens is it's sending it down the mountain and the pressure increases from the gravity flow.
Okay.
So by the time it gets to the bottom of the mountain, it's around 400 PSI.
Wow.
That's and really at the cool top, stuff. On the high side, we only put out 380 on the high side from the pump house because it's only about 130 foot drop.
Okay.
So about that 400 PSI range is where we operate the snow guns at.
That's crazy. I definitely want to come and visit and see this in operation one day.
It is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. For the first time, I'm sure. And then after you do it for 7 years, the fun kind of wears off, I'm sure.
Just becomes work at that point.
Yes, exactly. Tell me what your favorite tool is and why.
I have 2 favorite tools. Number one is my Gerber multi-tool.
Okay. Yep.
Now, I found this in the sand in Bagram, Afghanistan.
I was
working on a Caterpillar tool carrier and it had a fuel issue, kept sucking in air. So I was driving it around. It stalled out on me. So I got out to tighten up the collar on the fuel filter. And I kicked this Gerber, brand new.
Oh, wow.
And it hasn't left my side since. And that was 2009.
Wow, that's pretty impressive for a tool.
A lot of the pieces are broke at this point.
Okay.
But I'm afraid to send it away to get a new one.
Yeah. There's sentimental value. Some sentimental value there. I understand that.
And my second favorite is a test light. It can be a fancy one or a generic one, but it answers your most basic question with most of your problems. Is there power?
Yeah. Yep. That's true.
That's what I use the most.
All right. I love it. Do you have any side projects or side hustles?
Many. Sometimes I have to limit myself. Uh-huh. I know I am only one person. So usually in the summer, I'll pick up a couple yards to mow.
Okay.
That's the enjoyable thing. And in a small town such as ours, or tourist town, they find out you're a mechanic and maybe she'll. So a lot of our golf course members have golf carts of their own. They'll leave me a note at the pro shop. Hey, can you come by? Look at my golf cart. It's doing this. I pick up jobs like that. A lot of my friends, like, hey, man, can you help me with my brakes?
Oh yeah. Yep.
And of course I very rarely turn folks down. My only downside is I don't have a garage. So anything I do is usually a house call.
Mm-hmm.
I come to you and I fix it there.
Right. Well, at least you got all your tools in your vehicle. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Take them with me everywhere. That's Took them right. to Myrtle Beach last week too, just in case.
That's good. Wearing those shocks out on a ride to Myrtle Beach.
Oh yeah.
What do you like best about your job?
The sunrise, plain and simple. I love being up before the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, nature. I love to hunt and fish.
Okay.
So now I get to be at work and be outside too. There's
best of both worlds, isn't it? Yeah,
it is. And then whenever everything comes together, when the team's together, the equipment's all working real nice, cuts look good, and people are golfing and saying it is great.
Mm-hmm.
That's precipice of perfection and makes my heart really, really happy.
There you go. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. What is the craziest thing you've seen at work?
One time, I know it's not related to maintenance. Back That's when okay. I first started, I was weed eating. Had my hearing protection on, going to town, weed eating. And one of the other guys drives up ahead of me. He's waving and pointing. I'm like, hey, how are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Good to see you. And he points and points again, waves his arms crazy. And I finally turn around and here comes mom and two cubs just chilling,
oh, wow.
walking across the fairway. I lose it. I freak out a little bit, but they weren't interested in me. They were just walking through.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy. And another crazy thing that happens here, we don't have a track hoe, but we do have a backhoe. So okay. Whenever there's a water leak on the snowmaking line in the winter, they will winch the backhoe down a snow-covered slope.
Oh, wow.
To dig up a leak so we can uh-huh. get it fixed. It's crazy, scary, and I'm glad I don't have to operate the backhoe.
Yes.
But they do it as safe as they possibly can. Our one groomer this winter was grooming Face. It's our steepest trail on the front of the mountain. And he runs the winch cat. So it's got a big winch on top of the groomer. And you hook it to a tree or an anchor point. He's going up, pushing snow up the hill. And the winch cable broke.
Mm.
And his cat came swirling down Face.
Oh, wow.
It's a very interesting job. And it's not like running a dozer. Snow can be very hard to judge. It's dry, mm-hmm. packed, wet.
Okay. That makes sense. Too. Yeah. Not like dirt. Yeah.
Maybe more like mud.
Okay. Yep.
It would kind of be like quicksand.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever does that. Dry, yeah. powdery snow is fun to ski, but you can't get a lot of traction on it.
Right. So, that makes sense. Crazy. Did you grow up as a kid really concerned about quicksand?
No, not at all.
Okay, you're younger than I am. I thought it was a really, really big problem because every show I watched, there was quicksand.
It was always on the cartoons and stuff.
Yes, exactly. Get ready for tips and tricks. What are the tips and tricks you want to share with us that you've used or seen?
I'm still learning a lot of things, and I am very anxious to learn more things. And now that I have met you guys and been to the trade show,
mm-hmm.
it's starting to come together, and it's really awesome. My favorite little trick, and this is good for about anything, is super glue and baking soda. Have you ever used that?
No, I have not.
So if you put runny super glue mm-hmm. on whatever it is, and I've used it on plastics, fiberglass, glass, aluminum. Anyway, put down a bead of super glue and you put baking soda on it right away.
Okay.
It'll heat up and harden right now.
Nope. Never heard of it.
Super hard. I fixed my ice scraper a couple years ago and it hasn't broken yet.
Really? Wow.
I swear. It's strong stuff, and nobody believes me, but so where the super glue and baking soda thing comes from is actually helicopter mechanics. Mm-hmm. Whenever they get a chip on their blades,
okay,
they can put the super glue on and the baking soda. It hardens right away. They can sand it and paint it, and it's done.
No way.
Away.
Okay, I'm going to have to try this out then. I got both ingredients at the shop. I'm trying that out tomorrow.
Don't get the gel kind. You want a runny super glue. So like the cheapest super glue you can get.
Okay. Very good.
I use that on golf carts a lot too. Like the plastics.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of times they don't want to buy new plastics, so I can patch it over and paint it.
I don't know. Is a helicopter blade, is that carbon fiber?
I don't know.
No. Okay. Just curious. Sure.
I didn't fly planes and I didn't work on airplanes.
Hey, you were in the Air Force. Come on. You're supposed to know stuff like this. It's just like us working at a golf course. We're supposed to know what every lawnmower is.
Right. I actually have patched. I like to go floating in the river.
Mm-hmm.
Floating tubes. They get holes in them. I will patch my river tubes with it too.
Okay.
It's a hard patch, but it's very sturdy.
I'm going to have to try this out. Yes.
I haven't got into plastic welding. I want to though.
It is pretty cool. Hector Velasquez turned me on to that years ago. He actually came down here to Georgia and done a little hands-on class for our technician seminar. And, it was actually sad because when I lined it up, he said, "Does anybody down there have a plastic welder?" I said, "I have one and I've never used it." He's like, "Yeah, bring it." So he showed me what you could do with it. And I said, "This is pretty amazing stuff. It's pretty cool."
Yeah.
What else would you like to share with us today?
Oh, tips and tricks. We weren't even done with that.
Oh, were we not? Keep going.
I don't know. Removing a drive clutch on a Gator. This was one of the cool things I figured out. I've taken an old needle tine and cut it down. Take the bolt out of the driven clutch, put the part of the needle tine in there, put the bolt back in, tighten it down, smack it with a hammer. It'll pop right off.
Really?
I swear it.
So you're new to the industry. You only been in the industry a short time, like 7 years, and you're teaching me all kind of new tricks. This is awesome. I love it. And it's, you know, it's simple stuff. Would I ever thought of it? No. So
I'm pretty sure there's an actual tool to do that. But that was the way I was taught. It was actually the original way I was taught was with a piece of threaded rod. Uh-huh. But it wasn't stout enough and it bent inside and got stuck. I was like,
oh, no.
We need something stouter than that. And I was like, huh, there's an old needle tine. I'm going to use that.
That is awesome. That is a good one. So any more tips and tricks?
You know. Just having heat around, map gas and a torch.
Okay.
All the time.
Warming stuff up. I got
a bench plate. Having a bench plate is the most amazing thing I've added to my shop. I think since I've been there.
For parallel and reels?
It's fixed a lot of issues for me. Like when I first started, I had immense issues. I do not know what's going on with this thing. And we finally got a bench plate and it fixed so many problems.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing what parallel will do for you.
Indeed.
So what else do you want to talk about? I think you got some stuff on your list that you wanted to discuss.
It's not I feel like I get writing and it's just extra. It's just fluff stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, fabricating lately. I'm into carpentry, Trent. I like to build things too.
Uh-huh.
And my mom is a big honey-do lister. And I'm her only kid. So anytime I show up, it's, can you do this for me? Of course, mom. So my mom had in her house one of those fake beams in the ridge.
Mm-hmm.
Just painted. Looked fine, but she wanted it to be a wood beam.
Okay.
I'm not going to cut down a tree for you, but we stained some oak paneling and some pine boards, and I was able to make that thing look amazing. I was actually really proud of myself. I was like, my carpentry skills, this is really cool.
Uh-huh.
But the we had old gates down at the lower golf course. They were made out of wood, mm-hmm. and they're rotted now. They actually fell down over the winter. So me and the new welder, we're going to make new metal gates for down there.
Okay, yeah. We'll have to worry about those that. Getting rot. Rotten.
You just asked me the fabrication question like a year too early.
Oh, it's all there. Good.
Almost
all good.
On it, man.
I just, you know, there's a lot of us in the industry, and I think that's one of the pleasures of our job is getting to fabricate and build stuff because mm-hmm. it's not something that we do necessarily every day. So it's just a fun part of the job, getting to do something different.
Want to build an air fire trailer too.
Yep.
Could buy one. Might be able to build one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking with a welder and metal, you can do anything. And when you're like JR and you got a lathe and a milling machine, you can really do anything.
So, and you're into robotics.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true too.
I've got an Iron Man suit. I'm JR Wilson.
That's awesome.
I could see him doing it though. He reminds me of a Tony Stark.
Yep.
Knowledge-wise, he's a super smart dude.
Yeah. No, he is. He's a really stand-up guy too.
Most of you guys are really, really smart. It's awesome. I'm glad I met all of you.
We're just lucky, I guess. I don't know what it is. I mean, this is one of the best industries. I will say that with the group of technicians that I know and you've got to meet. I mean, there's a lot of sharp guys out there. And that's why I'm doing this podcast.
Yeah.
I want to hear awesome. From all of them.
Heck yeah. And the coolest thing about the turf maintenance industry is it's worldwide and it's mm-hmm. not per se a seasonal job. Either you can go south, you can go north,
mm-hmm.
you can go overseas. There's no limitations on where you can go with turf.
You can go anywhere in the world.
Your season might be shorter in the north, but it's still there. So you can literally go anywhere.
Well, I mean, from what I've heard, a lot of the northern courses, the two people that stay on staff is the superintendent and the mechanic, mm-hmm. you know, year round. So that's a pretty good gig too. Do you want to tell us about women in the turf industry?
So International Women's Day was on Monday.
Okay.
Prior to attending the golf show in 2020, I had no idea that there were so many women involved with golf outside of typical office and managerial jobs. I had no clue. I was invited to sit on the Ladies Leading Turf panel. And there I met Jan Bale Jan, Kathy Harbin, Beth Guterall, Lori Bland, and Ellen Davis. These are architects and superintendents, business owners, professors, and it opened my eyes personally
mm-hmm.
to the possibilities because I knew women are capable of anything.
Right.
And it just showed me even more and it's unreal.
Mm-hmm. So after meeting those people, did that create any other opportunities?
Yes, I have started networking with other strong ladies in the industry. We're working on a couple teams of women in like a WhatsApp. I did have three takeaways, like, you know, 3 points I'd like to make about women.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly about women in general. It's not so much in turf because I really don't personally know a whole lot of women in turf industry. I'm the only one here involved in our golf program unless they're a cart kid
mm-hmm.
or a cashier. Women are an invaluable piece to any operation. You might just not know it yet.
Mm-hmm.
They're great multitaskers.
Yep.
Pay attention to details more than anyone.
A lot more than men, I think.
I do too.
Yeah.
If you have a project that needs done, you can say, go do this, and it'll probably be done at about 300% of what you actually expected.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you put flowers on the end. That was really nice. You know, I didn't expect that, but it looks really cool.
Yep.
I want to encourage fathers and role models of young women to push young ladies to do things outside of their comfort zone. Don't be afraid to show them how to change brakes and tires.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. A good friend of mine, he's got military background too. He was in the Army for 22 years and he retired as a first sergeant. And his two daughters, before he allowed them to drive, he made them change a tire in his driveway.
That's a daddy right there.
Right. You're going to have to figure out how to do this before I'm letting you drive. And he's squared away, dude. With that much military experience, but awesome stand-up guy. And I mean, after I heard that, I said, I'm doing the same thing with my girls.
Roger. Yeah. Trent.
Yes. And my youngest girl, she's 13 now, and she's kind of my right hand. So anytime I'm working on something, she likes to tinker with me. And I mean, it's really rewarding for me too. And I remember, I don't know, she was probably like second grade and I was rebuilding an air compressor pump that I'd got, long story. But anyway, I was rebuilding it and she's down there in the basement helping me. And she said, Dad, do you think anybody in my class knows how to do this? I'm like, no, honey, nobody in your class in second grade knows how to do this. Like you're the only one.
That'd be pretty stellar.
But the excitement on her face was, you know, after we got it put together and plugged it in and turned it on and it worked, and you know, you could really tell that that hit home with her. She's like, that is so cool. This was all tore apart, we put it together and now it works.
So that's
very
right.
Very rewarding.
It is very. I'd like to see a lot more people teach young girls tasks and skills like carpentry, masonry, mechanics, cutting down trees, even agronomy. It's women can be limited by their stature, by our strength and size, but definitely not in possibilities.
Well, and to speak to that a little bit, I had a guy working for me last year in the shop, and he was a bruiser. He worked out, you know, all the time. He's big, muscular, you know, and he's at least twice my size, muscular. And I would see him over at the tire changer, you know, going after it. Yes. And he can't get the tire on and because he has bad technique. So I would walk over there, use the right technique, and it flies right on. He's like, how'd you do that? You know, he's all bad, but it was pretty rewarding for me too.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a lot about technique, not strength.
It is. To the women out there, be firm in your beliefs and your convictions. If you want to do a job, you can do it. There's nothing that will stop you. Don't let anyone say that you can't. Lift each other up, work smart, and keep on keeping on.
Life's a garden, dig it.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's a good one. I like that.
I don't know, that just reminded me of Joe Dirt. Keep on keeping on. Off the garden, dig it.
So I was looking up a little while ago, like a bunch of famous ladies in history. Mm-hmm. Annie Oakley's my hero.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I always carried a gun around when I was a kid too, growing up hunting and stuff. And I seen a quote by Amelia Earhart I really liked. And it says, women must try to do things as men have tried. When they fail, their failure must be but a challenge to others.
That's a good one.
I thought it was cool. Like,
yeah.
Well, yeah, you failed, but it doesn't mean it can't be done.
Right. I honestly think our failures really help us in the long run. You know, we learn from our mistakes.
How to do it better anyway. I'm lucky I didn't fail at rebuilding that 8.8 inch differential this fall. If I would have had to redo it, I would have kicked myself. Oh, that was the worst job I've ever done for a friend.
What was that in?
An F-150, a 2001.
Okay.
And I had never done one before.
Mm-hmm.
And we only had it on jack stands. Didn't have it on the lift.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, Google and tech manual.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I can take that bolt out now. It was intense and it was cold, but
that never helps either, cold weather.
That was the biggest job I've done for a friend, I think.
That's definitely up there. Yeah. That's more than changing brakes for somebody.
That was like a 230 packs kind of job.
Okay. That's good.
Oh, I saw a putter and an umbrella in a tree, way up in a tree this summer. And I didn't have the chainsaw at the upper golf course. It was at the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But the golfer wanted his putter back. He got mad, threw it up there. And then he tried to get it out with the umbrella, right? Like, well, I don't have the chainsaw. It's going to be a while. And Brian's like, well, it's only a tree about like this, about 4 inches in diameter. I'm like, well, shoot, I can take that down with the brush blade on the weed eater.
Oh boy. Yeah. This went from bad to worse here.
No, not really. I passed a couple guys I work with. They're doing morning setup and I'm headed the opposite direction. And they're like, you're never going to get, that ain't going to work. Watch me. And I did. I took the tree down with a brush blade on a weed eater.
That's pretty impressive. Tell the listeners how they can get a hold of you.
Anybody can get a hold of me on Facebook, Twitter, or WhatsApp. I don't have any fancy handles, just Kayla Kipp. On all those, KIPP.
Got it.
Feel free to reach out anytime.
Thank you so much for coming on, Kayla. I really enjoyed talking to you today. It was nice hearing some different stuff like the snowmaking. And I'm a big fan of anybody that served in the military. So I really appreciate that, your service to our country.
I appreciate that sentiment.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, thank you for coming on, and thank everybody for listening. I hope you enjoyed hearing from Kayla. Tune in next week when we're talking to Jerry Knight. Thank you so much for listening to the Real Turf Techs podcast. I hope you learned something today. Don't forget to subscribe. If you have any topics you would like to discuss or you'd like to be a guest, find us on Twitter. At Real Turf Text. See you bye.